Today we're going to look at Daniel chapter 3. And this is the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego getting thrown into the fiery furnace. So most of you have probably heard the story before. If you've ever been in a Sunday school class as a little child, you've probably seen a flannel graph or some such thing, or maybe a little video. But we understand the basic story. And as I was, you know, studying this and working through it for this message today and next week, or the week, or a couple weeks later, I began to see it differently than I ever had before, and that is the title of the message is God's Pursuit of a Pagan King. I always saw it really as, you know, how God can protect us in the midst of a fire, or, you know, the importance of having a commitment to never compromise, to never bow, never break. But as I began to, you know, just work through the study of this and, you know, spend some time meditating on it, I just began to see more and more that God is pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. It's really what's happening here. And this story is sort of the beginning of it. It's like the opening up an insight into this man's life that he never had before. And then next chapter 4, God's going to really get down to the root of his heart, which is pride. So keep that in mind as we work through this. So I'm in beginning there in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall. That's like a 9-story building. That's huge. 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And then he gathered all the officials to come to the dedication of the image. What's this all about? You know, I remember in chapter 2, which Ted shared here a couple weeks ago, he had this vision, he had this dream about this statue, and there was a gold head. Remember that? A gold head. Then there was silver kind of chest and arms. And the Lord revealed through Daniel that this image or this vision he had, this statue, represented different kingdoms that would rise and fall over a period of time. And the first kingdom was the gold head, and he said, "This is you, O King Nebuchadnezzar. You're the gold head. That's found in Daniel chapter 2. You are the head of gold, but after your kingdom it comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place." Now, how many of you know if you're a king that has a lot of pride, you don't like to hear that. Saying you're the head of gold and there's going to come another kingdom after you who's really inferior to you, but he's going to take your place. And so it's almost like, I feel like at the root of this issue, Nebuchadnezzar is trying to build this gold statue, this gold from head to foot, to say, I want my kingdom to last forever. I don't want anybody coming after me who's mightier than I. So I'm going to make this 90-foot statue of gold, set it up, and I'm going to have everybody come and worship this statue. So it's either defiance, maybe it's defiance against God, maybe it's fear of being replaced, maybe it's pride, or maybe all the above. But there was some kind of motivation in this man's heart that I think springs from the translation of that dream that he had. And so he says in verse 5, all these people that came, when you hear the sound of the horn, the pipe, the lyre, the trigon, the harp, the bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. Okay. Two options here. What are you going to do? Now, he's the king. He rules. Whatever he says is going to go. And everybody in this kingdom. Now, remember, there are lots of God's people here. Remember, all the people from Jerusalem who were taken captive and brought in to the kingdom of Babylon. Daniel was among them, as well as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many others. And so the king says, hey, I got this statue I set up, but I want everybody to come and worship it. And you have two options. You either fall down and worship the golden image, or you'll be burned in the fiery furnace. Well, people did mostly comply. That's my next point, compliance. The crowd bowed. Many of them who are God's people fell down and began to worship at the feet of this idol. Now, maybe in their hearts they were saying, God, you know in my heart I'm not really doing this, but I don't want to be burnt. I don't want to go to the fiery furnace. Don't you know I have a family? I got to take care of my kids. I can't go to that fiery furnace, so I'm just kind of bowing down outwardly, but inwardly I'm standing. I don't know if that was going on in people's hearts. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I can imagine that's the case. But the point I want to make out about all that, the idea of compliance, is compliance. What would have happened if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took that route? If they said, okay, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and bow down outwardly, but inwardly, you know I'm standing. Inwardly, you know my heart's for you. I'm going to go ahead and bow just so I don't get burnt. The amazing things that happened in this chapter never would have happened. Somehow God was able to use this dedication of these three young men to start to touch the heart of this king. And it never would have happened. Whenever there's compliance to this bowing down, this worshiping whatever's out there instead of the Lord, it's never powerful enough to bring about change. It never transforms the hearts of people. And Nebuchadnezzar was a man that God wanted to change. God wanted to grab that man's heart and turn him from pride to where he could humble himself and begin to recognize who God really is. And it took the commitment of these three young men who were willing to die instead of disobey the Lord. And so it says here, all the peoples, the nations, and languages fell down and they worshiped the golden image. That's compliance. Everybody did except these three. So verse 12, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed. So some men came and told Nebuchadnezzar. They were what we call tattletales. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. I'm going to give you what I think is a really good definition of the word commitment. And that is, you know, we learned this word back in Daniel chapter 1. It is a heart resolved. It is resolving in your heart that there's a certain line that you'll never cross. And for these guys, it was to honor God's decree. Because what Nebuchadnezzar was asking them to do was to fall down and worship and serve this idol. And yet God's decree is what? There's only one. There's only one to worship. And him only shall you serve. And so I want you guys to know that their commitment was not necessarily a pushback against Nebuchadnezzar. It wasn't an attitude. It was really a heart of obedience. It was a simple step of saying, you know what? All I can do is obey the word of the Lord. I love what Randy shared here earlier today. It's a simple step of obedience that makes the change in our world today. And that's all these young men did. They didn't have an attitude. They weren't in rebellion. They weren't being stubborn. All they said was, you know what? In the heart of our hearts, our commitment is we have to obey God. And he said, there shall be no other gods and to worship him only. And that's what made them stand. It was a simple obedience. Say that with me, the word simple obedience. So many times we think obedience is so difficult. How can I ever walk in obedience before Jesus? It is really a simple obedience. And that became their point of commitment. That became the heart that was resolved. And there's no way they could bow. There's no way that they could bow when that was the foundation of their heart that day. You know, compliance somehow had to throw that out the window. But these young men were resolute in their heart. From Babylon's, I have two perspectives. From Babylon's perspective, them not bowing down was offensive disregard. Look what they said. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image you set up. So they're, it's like an offense to them. He's pushing aside your command, O king. But on their side, it was simply honoring God. It was honoring God's decree to worship the Lord and to serve Him only. So now I want to walk you through, because of their commitment this way, to make this stand a simple obedience to God's word, how God began to move in the heart of this man, Nebuchadnezzar. So you're going to follow this pattern with me, okay? These guys created a catalyst. You know what a catalyst is? It's something that makes something change. And these, their commitment was a catalyst that moved something in the heart of this man to where change begins to happen. Let's see how it goes, the progress. So Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, that's where it began. You know, pride, anger, feeling offended, whatever it was, but he was furious that these three young would disobey him. Furious rage, he commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought. And so they brought these men before the king. And in the next slide, he says, here's the questions he was asking them. Is it true that you do not serve my gods? My gods. Remember that. Is it true you will not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? If you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands? And you know what? That's where he crossed the line. Because now the Lord's saying, now you made this a personal thing. Who is the God who will deliver you? See, he felt like, for whatever reason, he was more powerful than these gods. Who is the God who could deliver you? The man had victory after victory after victory. He was a powerful leader. And somehow that got to him. And he felt invincible. And now he's saying, all the nations, all the peoples, all the languages, come down and worship this image. And if you don't, I'm going to cast you into the fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you? No one is going to deliver you from my hands. That's kind of how he felt. And I love the answer these brothers gave. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, you know, if you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace, our God, because he was asking the question, who is the God who will deliver you? He said, if this is so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. Amen? We're talking about the living God. He's able to deliver us. Go ahead and throw us in the furnace. Our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand. So one way or the other, whether we die in the furnace or you see his power manifested here, we will be delivered from your hand, O king. And then verse 18 is such a huge part of this message. But if not. But if not. Sometimes we kind of look at faith almost like a transaction. And trust me on this, I've talked to many, many people out there who have things like this to say. I prayed to God that he would save my grandma, and she died anyway. Now I'm angry. You know, you have this transactional relationship with God. You do this for me, and I'll do that for you. But that wasn't in the heart of these brothers here. They said, we know that God is able, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow down to this idol. So I have this little phrase called, God is able, but if not. Can you say that? But if not. What if you lived with that as your commitment? God is able, but if not. How many of you have ever had the Lord disappoint you? Could I see your hand? And be honest. The Lord has disappointed you either with a prayer that wasn't answered or some way he didn't come through. Could I see your hand? Okay. Now, was he able? But if not, what are you going to do? That's the question. He's able. No one questions whether he's able. But if not, what are you going to do? And I pray that we would always remain in our commitment to him, to simple obedience, to simple obedience. See, theirs was a simple obedience. If not, we're still not going to worship because from our perspective, we're called to worship the Lord and him only. And it's a simple obedience that we're walking in here. So we know he's able, but if he doesn't, this is where we stand. And God is just calling us to that, simple obedience. Yeah, God is able to do amazing things, but if he doesn't, I'm still walking in simple obedience before him. See, my faith and my relationship with Jesus is not transactional. It is a simple obedience to his word, trusting he can do whatever he wants to do, but somehow yielding up to whatever his will happens to be. These guys didn't know the rest of the story. You know what I mean? We know the rest of the story. They look like they got a lot of courage, but they didn't know the rest of the story. And they're making this kind of a commitment. And so they said, but if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, plural, or worship the golden image that you set up. And so I believe the bigger story in this chapter is not the deliverance. Yeah, that was an amazing thing. That was an amazing thing that you would see these guys thrown into the furnace and saved. The bigger story is God is pursuing Nebuchadnezzar. And it took a commitment of three young men with this kind of courage, this kind of faith, this kind of resolve of their heart for that process to begin, that catalyst to begin to work in this man's life. If they had been compliant and bowed down like everybody else, this never would have happened. You would never be reading about this. Verse 19, so now we're seeing the progress. He went from furious rage to now he's filled with fury. It's like it just filled him. Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed. How many of you have known somebody's facial expression changed when something inside of them was boiling up? Maybe that was your face at some point. The expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he ordered the furnace heated seven times more than it was usually heated. So I'm so angry, I'm so furious, I'm not just going to burn you up in a furnace, I'm going to make it seven times hotter than it usually is to make sure you're burnt to a crisp. And they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the furnace was overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about that. Here you have these guards dragging them up over to the edge of the fire, and it's so hot, the people who took them there are dying. But they didn't. and they were thrown in. And the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the burning fiery furnace. Amen. End of the story. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. So now he's going from fury to being filled with fury to now astonishment. He says he was astonished and he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." Let's look at the next slide. Look at that, man. Many, many, many commentators believe that fourth person was an appearance of Jesus. You know, who knows? Bible's not clear, but I like to think that's what happened. Even if it was just an angel, it was still an amazing thing. And you need to know, no matter what you face in life, no matter what fire you have to go through because of your commitment to Jesus, there's always going to be a fourth man. Fourth man is always there. He's always going to be there. He didn't spare them from the fire. They still went into the fire, but he went with them. Fourth man was there. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God." So now he's not talking about my gods anymore. He says, "You guys are the servants of the Most High God. I've been calling you to serve my gods and worship this image, but you are servants of the Most High God, the greatest." Now, he's not getting saved at this point, but he's acknowledging something. He's seeing this amazing work that God is doing because of the simple obedience of these brothers. And something's beginning to happen. Because not only did Jesus deliver those brothers in that fire, he revealed himself. He revealed himself to Nebuchadnezzar. And he went from fury to astonishment. And now he's moving from astonishment to acknowledgement. "You are servants of the Most High God. Come out and come here." And everyone saw that the fire had not had any power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. That's so amazing. How many of you ever had your hair singed before? It doesn't take a whole lot of heat to do that. And this thing was heated up 7 times the normal amount, and not a hair on their head was singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Why? Because there was a fourth man there. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God." Now, I'll say he's moving from acknowledgement to, I'm going to call it, worship. Okay? Quote, unquote. "Blessed be God." His attitude before was, "Who is the God who can save you?" Now he's saying, "Wow, this God that you serve, he's the Most High God. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." And he set aside the king's command, and they yielded up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. That's the simple obedience. There was no price too heavy to pay for simple obedience. They said, "Hey, you know what? we're willing to yield up our bodies to walk in obedience to the Lord. And he's able to deliver us, but if he doesn't, we still will not worship. Therefore, I make a decree. So now I'm moving from worship to a proclamation. I make a decree. Remember before he called people, nations, or languages to come and worship? Now he's calling that same group. Any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb. Now, this guy was a warrior. That's about all he could think of. I mean, can you see the huge shift in this man's heart? You know, from this place of calling everybody to worship his gods in this image he set up to now saying, if anybody says anything about this God that these guys serve, I'm going to tear you limb from limb. And their houses will be laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. Amazing. Just a few verses. How long this lasted? Maybe it was a couple hours. I don't know how long this transaction happened here. But a huge change in the heart of this man. Why? Because God is after Nebuchadnezzar. God's after this man. And it simply took three young men with a boldness to say, I just want to walk in simple obedience. And somehow God took their resolve, the heart of their resolve, and made himself a deliverer, but also revealed himself to these who were against them and began to change this man's heart. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. What a beautiful story this is. I'd like you to stand with me as we're going to close. Randy's going to come up. I think, are there musicians coming up to sing a song or to play something? Yeah. So Nebuchadnezzar went from who is the God who is able to deliver you to there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way. He went from honoring his gods, plural, to honoring the one God, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What was the secret? They simply had a resolve to walk out simple obedience. That was really the turning point. You guys will never know, you'll never know the influence your life can have in the heart of those who do not know Jesus, unless you walk out that obedience. And sometimes that obedience might mean that you get thrown into the fiery furnace, but are you willing? Are you willing to be thrown into the fiery furnace for a simple obedience? I hope you are. I hope that your faith in God is not transactional, that you're never making deals with God. Like, I'll serve you as long as you do this. And we're here to simply walk in obedience to the Lord, the one Lord. And we know he's able to deliver us. And there are times he does, just like here. But you know there are other times he doesn't. Remember we read in Hebrews 11, there were some who were sawn asunder. Their lives were taken. They were cut short. Paul the apostle had his head chopped off for Jesus. But look at all that's been done through these men of simple obedience who are committed to the nth degree, knowing that God is able, but if he doesn't, we're still walking in obedience. That's really what he calls us all to. In this chapter, God's beginning to reveal himself to Nebuchadnezzar. Next chapter, he's going to get deeply into his heart. You'll see that in chapter 4. God really gets down to the root of where this man's at. Jesus is chasing after the pagan kings. And there's plenty of them around here. Jesus wants them. So I pray that God would help us